Right, this is Pure Decking, show number 562 for Thursday. What is it? April? No, May. May the 9th, 2024. No, wait, that's not... Well, yep, I'm tired. May 9th, 1950. I was reading the damn clock off my taskbar instead of doing the joke. Well, not that anybody would get that 1950 is when Dianetics came out, which I thought was... good joke, because it'd be like, yeah, I can't be with that. What it was? Yeah, that was what it was. Anyways, show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and wondering when I should have my midlife crisis. I figure it should be coming up soon. So.
You buy a Porsche?
I don't know. Probably not. And things are expensive, and my current car is fucking expensive. But,
Everything's expensive.
No shit. And Biden gave some interview trying to claim our economy's the best it's been. It's like, motherfucker, my groceries are almost three times what they were when you were first elected.
Tell me about it, man. I paid $82 yesterday to fill a car up.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, and I've told you, something's screwy with our gas, because the regular 89 is, you know, 330 what it's been, but then the spread to get into the, not the 89, the 87 is 330. The 89 is like 380. And then the 92 is like 420. It's like the spread on them is a much, you know, it used to be like a 20-cent spread between them. But now it's like, I don't know. It's like something is artificially keeping the base gas down. So.
Almost like they're flooding the market with strategic oil.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. Again.
And it's 6 months out for an election. Just, I don't know. Marketing. Maybe I'm having a little too much to think there.
Yep. Oh, whatever. I probably shouldn't get into politics, but I just, fuck, man. It's so hard to ignore it these days.
But it's because it's in everything. It's in the pricing. It's in your energy. You know, it's just everything. It all comes back to the political will. This shit is only getting fucked up because some people think they have the audacity to know better and pull apart old infrastructure because, it's not fit for purpose for net zero.
Politics ruins everything.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, I guess we'll get into it here. Oh, yeah. I didn't even finish the intro, did I? We haven't, are you? No, man.
It was a quick week. It was a very quick week.
It's been a long fucking week, man. So, anyways, between trying to start a gym regimen, God help me.
As long as you keep up with it, man.
I went tonight.
Good.
I did go. So, I don't know that I'm making any progress, but I'm at least going. Anyways, I guess we'll get into this one. It's from Tech Radar. Microsoft is tying executive pay to security performance, so if it gets hacked, no bonuses for anyone. Which I think is an interesting headline, so, of course the devil for this is in the details, right? So in a bold move addressing some major cybersecurity concerns that have plagued the company in recent months, Microsoft has linked executive compensation to the company's security performance. The strategic maneuver comes after a series of high-profile attacks affecting the company, such as those by China's Storm 558 and Russia's Midnight Blizzard. The revelation arrives days after CEO Satya Nadella confirmed that the company's renewed commitment would see it, quote, putting security above all else. The initiative, which has been called the Secure Future Initiative, launched last November and has now been expanded to affect executive pay. Charlie Bell, Executive Vice President of Microsoft Security, shared in a blog post, Quote, we will instill accountability by basing part of the compensation of the company's senior leadership team on our progress in meeting our security plans and milestones, unquote. The expansion of Microsoft's SFI takes into consideration recommendations provided by the Department of Homeland Security's Cyber Safety Review Board. I don't think much of government review boards when it comes to a lot of this stuff, but that's a different argument. The March report slated Microsoft for making a series of avoidable errors. Specific details surrounding Microsoft's decision to directly link at least part of its executive pay to cybersecurity performance is unconfirmed, but it certainly reflects the company's goal of instilling a more proactive and engaged response to cybersecurity among workers. Bill added, quote, our company culture is based on a growth mindset that fosters an ethos of continuous improvement, unquote. Okay, that's a fancy way of saying nothing. It's like, well, we want to keep getting bigger and we want to keep getting better. Good for you. I mean, you know. Anyways, Redmond's chief information security officer, newly appointed Igor Tyskinansky, probably said that way wrong, has also pushed a new security governance framework with Microsoft's, which Microsoft says introduces a partnership between engineering teams and newly formed deputy CISOs, collectively responsible for overseeing SFI, managing risks, and reporting progress directly to senior leadership team. So, they didn't actually say that if they get hacked, no one's getting a bonus. What they said is that they've got security milestones. And that's just like anything, right? You know, if you set a bunch of goals and you meet your goals, you get your bonus. If you don't meet the goals, you don't. So it's all about how you define this shit, right?
Fair enough.
But they're actually, you know, Microsoft is pushing. I'm almost certain that they paid to have somebody write this article, say, oh, no, we're tying, you know, saying if we get hacked, no bonuses. Because, I mean, people love that shit, right? It's like, oh, no, if they get it wrong, they're not going to get their bonuses. They're really going to try to get it right. Microsoft has been trying to get security right for how long now? Come on. No, they're going to...
It's just a fluff piece. So when they called the Congress and go, look, we said it back then. We're trying hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm sure there's some junior level executive who is going to get their pay docked if they get popped so that they can point and say, see, look, we docked pay. I mean, I'm sure they'll do it, but it's not going to be to the president or the bigwigs on the board. It's going to be to some mid-level executive, like those junior CISOs they were talking about there. So, Chief Information Security Officer, CISO. So, the fact that they have more than one of them tells me that
the company's bloated.
Yeah. So, you have to watch for this kind of thing when they talk about executive pay packages. Yeah, I'm sure they have some policy that, you know, says in the event of a security breach, and then they've got some definition of a security breach that doesn't include anything that you or I would consider a security breach.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not going to be if a Microsoft customer gets hacked. It's probably going to be if Microsoft, the corporation, gets hacked. And probably not even Office 365 or Microsoft 365 or whatever calling it this week. It's probably like Microsoft's corporate network, you know, with their internal development servers and, you know, that kind of data breach, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and you got to watch for this with these companies. Microsoft actually has gotten better in the security department, mainly because they've had to, because everyone beats on their operating system and their services, right?
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it's ever been a core competency of that company. I mean, yeah, they've got some tooling and they've got some guidance out there and they do give options in the operating system. So I think there are people within Microsoft who are security minded, but the company itself is not. The company itself is more interested in maximizing profit and, you know, shoving the next version of Windows out, because I've got another article a few things down talking about the whole ads in the start menu where they're trying to hide that that's what they're going to do, but we all know that's what they're going to fucking do. Is try to, you know, turn, they've been trying since Windows 8 to turn the desktop into a platform to sell advertising. So And I don't even blame their developers anymore, because most of these companies don't actually have, well, okay, they've got their core developers, but it's not, you know, you like, I don't know, 10 years ago, it was like you'd have Microsoft developers and Google developers and no, all contractors these days. So they'll have some in-house development leads and project teams and a handful of, you know, subject experts, and then they contract out the rest of it. So the same guys are going to be writing Microsoft code or Google code or IBM code or Facebook code, because they're all going to go through third-party contractors.
They won't be happy until there's an unremovable ad playing 24/7 on your desk.
Well, it'd be like an Idiocracy. You remember when the guy was watching a TV and it was bordered by just all those ads playing all the time?
That's what I'm thinking of.
Back in the day, would have been the Windows early Windows XP days. I remember trying a free ISP. It was dial-up.
Okay.
And I believe it was NetZero. And they actually were free when they first started. And they had a phone number that was in the area I was in at the time, so we tried it out, you know, to compare it to, like, AOL, or what was the other one we used? Bell South, maybe? I don't remember. Anyways, but yeah, some phone company ran just like a dial-up internet for a while. So I tried it out to see how it compared speed-wise and, you know, ease of use. And you install their dialer, because I tried to use the standard Windows one, didn't work. You had to use their dialer. It would connect and then kick you off, basically, if you weren't using their dialer, even though you had an account. I probably could have gotten around it, but at the time I didn't know enough, right? So, anyways.
Yeah.
Their dialer, when you install it, put a banner ad at the top of your screen. And that banner ad didn't go away when you weren't connected to their internet service. It ran all the fucking time.
Yeah, that's not cool.
It was a separate program from the dialer. I found it, killed it. And when you reran that, you know, and when you rebooted, it would come back. If you killed it and ran the dialer, it would come back.
Yeah.
I eventually figured out where it was and renamed the executable, and then made another executable that was did nothing, basically. It's just a C program that would run and exit, right? Named it that. That got around it for the couple of weeks I used it, and then it tried to do an update, and that just broke. And I think it was because I was tampering with it. But that one was obnoxious because, like I said, it put this thing, and you have to remember, this was a 1024x768 screen, so that banner ad...
Yeah, so it's taking up quite a bit of space.
And that banner ad was a couple of inches on that screen.
Yeah, so you're losing a lot of screen space.
It wasn't quite a quarter, but, you know, maybe a fifth of the vertical screen space for two banner ads going across the top of the screen all the damn time.
Yeah, that's obnoxious.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, people have been trying to, you know, do that for years. And, of course, there was always the adware and the malware that would come in with every fucking thing. Everyone loves that screenshot of Internet Explorer with every fucking toolbar on it.
Yeah.
So, it's not a new game. But the what annoys me is that Microsoft is getting into it because, and of course, they've been into it. But, you know, they make the operating system, and they got it. They got the kernel of the OS right around Windows 7. And then ever since then, they've just been putting more shit on top of it. You know?
That's been our major complaint about Windows for a long time, though. But you had it perfect, and then you just...
And, you know, for a 32-bit build, they had XP just about right.
Yeah, I thought XP was really good.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not that it's not, you know, useful. And I mean, there's a reason it's the main OS, but it's like once they got that monopoly position, man, somebody's convinced them to quit make. Well, that's the thing is once Cory Doctorow has this thing called shitification. It's like once the company becomes dominant, they stop making their product good and start making it to extract as much value as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, Microsoft's been there for a while, which is why I've been harping.
Well,
on
they've
so
been
much.
Doing that for 20 years, man.
Yeah.
They've held the power since pretty much day one. Even the antitrust stuff Congress did back in the 90s didn't really do anything.
No, it just got Microsoft involved in lobbying.
That's pretty much it. I don't know. Can't see that being a viable alternative in my time.
Oh, there are. They're just a lot more work. So, anyways. But yeah, so it's a nice puff piece on the, oh, they're going to tie their executive compensation to security performance. Yeah, let's see how that really plays out. I don't think you're going to see executives foregoing their bonuses, except for a couple of them for show, if they have another major breach. But you're right. The next time they're up in front of Congress explaining, you know, why something bad happened, they've got something they can point at.
Yeah, though. Oh, we're always working on it.
So, well, anyways, let's go to this next article. It's one you sent me. It's from Ars Technica. Robot dogs armed with AI-aimed rifles undergo Marine Special Operations evaluations. Literally, they've strapped a gun to those Boston Dynamics dogs.
Yep, and fitted it with ChatGTP and let it loose. I know it's not ChatGTP. Let me have this one.
Where's the button? I think that was the other soundboard. I was looking for the
I mean, are they dropping these things in Gaza to battle test them?
Oh, that'd be hilarious. I was looking for the Terminator sound effect, but I don't think I have it.
Yeah, I'd really like to see video of it.
United States Marine Forces Special Operations Command is currently evaluating a new generation of robotic dogs developed by Ghost Robotics, with the potential to be equipped with gun systems from defense tech company Onyx Industries, reports the Warzone. While MARSOC is testing Ghost Robotics quadrupedal unmanned ground vehicles. Good God, somebody tried really hard to not call it a dog. For various applications, including reconnaissance and surveillance, which would be a great use for these things, is the possibility of arming them with weapons for remote engagement that may draw the most attention, but it's not unprecedented. The U.S. Marine Corps has also tested robotic dogs armed with rocket launchers in the past. Well, that sounds a lot more interesting than the machine guns. Why aren't we talking about that?
I want to see the kickback on the dog.
I want to see the dog rocket jump. MARSOC is currently in possession of two armed QUGVs undergoing testing, as confirmed by Onyx Industry staff, and their gun-based systems are based on Onyx Sentry remote weapon systems, which feature AI-enabled digital imaging system and can automatically detect and track people, drones, vehicles, report potential targets to a human operator that could be located anywhere in the world. The system maintains human-in-the-loop control for fire decisions and cannot decide to fire autonomously. Well, it'll be a while. Okay. They might keep a human in the loop.
They're just trying to protect people's feelings at this point.
You might want to keep humans in the loop. Oh, that picture is bad. It's literally an AK-47 strapped to the top of the dog. And they're just using the robot to aim it, which, I mean, totally makes sense, but okay, the human in the loop is going to be click okay to fire. Fire. Click okay to fire. Fire. It's going to be like the stupid UAC in Windows where you just always try to do something. Continue? Yes. You know, that's what's going to happen is you're going to have users just trying to click yes no matter what. They're not going to be evaluating anything. So there might be a human in the loop, but who cares? They're just going to click yes because that's what they're going to be trained to do. Because you see it every fucking time you go to the grocery store or a fast food restaurant. The people working there will do what the computers tell them to do, even if it's wrong.
Without question.
Harvard did a test where they had a malfunctioning robot, basically, that was supposed to be an emergency, or was supposed to be a robotic assistant, and like it was giving people obviously wrong instructions. And then they simulated an emergency like the building was on fire, set off the fire alarms, ran a fog machine to make smoke in there. and then had the robot trying to lead people deeper into the building rather than going to the lighted exit. People followed the robot. More people followed the robot than went to the exit sign to get out of the quote-unquote burning building. So, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's like, yeah, there's a human in loop, but is that really worth very much? According to this, in a statement to the War Zone, MARSOC states that weaponized payloads are just one of the many use cases being evaluated. MARSOC also clarified that comments made by Onyx Industries to the War Zone regarding the capabilities and deployment of these armed robot dogs, quote, should not be construed as a capability or singular interest in one of many use cases during an evaluation, unquote. The command further stresses that it is aware of and adheres to all Department of Defense policies concerning autonomous weapons. You know what I'm thinking the best use for one of these things would be? Don't even bother What's with that? The gun. Just send a big one into a minefield and find the paths, because if you blow it up, okay, it's a couple of $1,000 worth of equipment, but it's better than blowing up people.
Ooh, I think you overvaluate machinery to people in war.
Am I making an uninformed assumption?
I don't know, man. I've never been in the military, but everything you read, you know, it's like, don't send the tank over there because it's worth $1 billion. Just send some troops in a half-armored Humvee. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I spent a lot of money training the troops, too, so... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what these Boston Dynamic dogs cost to make. I'd be interested in watching some of the field maneuvers with them, see what they're doing.
They've got some pricing in the article. The evaluation of the armed robot dogs reflects a growing interest in small robotic unmanned ground vehicles for military use. While unmanned aerial vehicles have been remotely delivering lethal force for under human command for at least 2 decades, the rise of inexpensive robotic quadrupeds, some available for as little as $1,600, has led to a new round of experimentation with strapping weapons to their backs. I'm sure the military ones probably cost 10 times that because it's the military and, you know, government contracts.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, a lot of countries have been caught with their pants down with drone technology in the last 5 years. Australia being one of them.
Yeah.
Let's face it, conventional battle, as we used to know it, is over. Like, your battleships and fucking aircraft carriers aren't worth shit anymore.
Well, I mean, that's what tends to happen with every major conflict. World War I, it was machine guns and tanks, and World War II, it was nukes. World War III... might be a variation on drones. More likely, it's going to be some other technology that we haven't seen. I mean, if they hadn't deployed the fucking nukes in World War II, do you think we would know about them today?
Oh, hell no.
They wouldn't have said shit.
And the shit that they deployed then, they're like a children's toy today.
Oh, yeah.
But I can see, like, a lot more drone and autonomous stuff being used, but... I think citizenry is the next weapon.
They do the whole information warfare and try to get people to vote out your political... Yeah, I could see that.
Just have a look what's going on with a handful of agitators on campus right now. They paralyzed the shit out of the place. Like, they fucking Eurovision last night. Apparently they protest that and had that pretty much shut down. I mean, agitation's definitely a weapon of war that I think's being perfected through psyops.
Well, they're saying, I forget which country it was now. It was some Middle Eastern country was the one funding through a couple of different shell companies a lot of these student protests.
Well, just look at the George Floyd riots. 2 years of absolute fucking chaos, billions of dollars. And who funded that? Like, that didn't happen in a vacuum.
Yeah.
It just doesn't take much now to rile these people up. And it's always the same fucking people. If you've always got an issue with something.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of makes you wonder, though. Are they easy to rile up because they follow this shit? Or do they follow this shit because they're easy to rile up?
I don't know, man. But that's, I'd say, you know, next big conflict, I think a lot of it, you're going to be dealing with it at home through your citizenry reacting.
Here comes martial law, then, I guess. That'll suck.
Well, yeah, but too bad you're outnumbered by the amount of people that are pissed off.
Yeah, but I'm better armed.
Yeah. Well, I just, I don't know, you don't follow much UK politics at all, do you?
No, I don't. Every once in a while something comes through, but...
I'll talk to you about it later, but there's big, big interesting things happening there with... demographics.
Really?
Yeah. Starting to play a role in foreign policy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyway, you want to go to the next story?
Yeah, we can finish out that. Basically, there was this article finishes out that, like, Unitree and Boston Dynamics and a few others saw the video of these, you know, things that look a lot like the ones they make, and they're like, oh, we're issuing a pledge not to weaponize our robots, with notable exception for military use. Gotta love that.
You're going to see these things in supermarkets and that.
You already do. Companies have... No, I'm dead serious. Companies buy them, well, they usually rent them, and use them to augment their physical security.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, the company I work for does it. I've seen the thing. They bring it out to company events and make it wave at people. So
how degrading. Somebody think of the animal.
All right, let's go on to the next story here. This is from The Verge. The Federal Communications Commission is fining the largest U.S. mobile carriers a combined nearly $200 million for allegedly illegally sharing customers' location data without their consent. So the largest U.S. mobile carriers, the combined fine, so all of them are paying less than this, is $200
million. Wow.
Do you think any of them care?
No, not at all. You think it's going to stop their behavior? No, not at all.
The FCC said it found the carriers, quote, sold access to its customers, unquote, location information to aggregators, who then resold access to such information to third-party location-based service providers. The agency says carriers effectively attempted to offload their responsibility to get customers' consent to share their location data with downstream recipients. Even after being made aware of the issue, the FCC claims the carrier still failed to limit access to the information. The fines vary across carriers. T-Mobile faces the largest at $80 million. Sprint, which merged with T-Mobile since the investigation began, faced $12 million. AT&T faces the second largest fine at $57 million, followed by Verizon at around $47 million. T-Mobile and Verizon's fines are actually lower than what was initially proposed by the agency based on the responses to the FCC original notice. But again, that's all of them. Like, nobody's a good actor here. So
they just chalk it up as cost of business.
Yep, you're right. The FCC opened the investigation after it was publicly reported on by various outlets. Tech journalist Joseph Cox wrote about the issue in 2019 for Motherboard. While plans for the FCC fine were reported back in 2020, the final call was stalled by a prolonged deadlock at the agency as it awaited a fifth commissioner's confirmation, according to the Wall Street Journal. AT&T spokesperson Alex Byers said the FCC's action, quote, lacks both legal and factual merit. It unfairly holds us responsible for another company's violation of our contractual requirements to obtain consent, ignores the immediate steps we took to address that company's failures, and perversely punishes us for supporting life-saving location services like emergency medical alerts and roadside assistance that the FCC itself previously encouraged. We expect to appeal the order after conducting a legal review, unquote. Verizon spokesperson Richard Young said that the company took swift action when one bad actor gained unauthorized access to information relating to a very small number of customers, unquote. He said the central issue involves an old program that Verizon shut down more than half a decade ago. Young added that the FCC order gets it wrong on both the facts of the law, or the facts and the law, and we plan to appeal the decision. T-Mobile declined to provide an on-the-record response with our policy. Okay, they didn't like something about the Burgess policy. So, you know, of course they're saying this because it's a bad look. They don't, you know, they've got to fight it to do the PR thing, but everybody knows what's going on in the back end because they're selling the location data to the cops.
Yeah. Well, the cops openly admit to buying it.
Yeah. So it's like, of course they're selling the location data without permission. The cops are the ones buying it. Of course, it is sort of like, you know, the cop says, oh, we know you have something. Could you please bring it into us? So you bring it into the police station, you hand it to them, and then they arrest you for possession of whatever the thing was. And they've got really good evidence because they watched you walk in and hand it over. So it's like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too cynical, but it just feels like everything is a game to try to get you these days.
It is. You're not being cynical. So, as I say, show me the man and I'll show you the crime.
That's a scary thought, isn't it?
But it's true now.
Good old whim laws. There's a reason I'm glad that our show didn't get all popular.
Yep. Still doesn't mean it won't come back to bite us.
Oh, no good deed goes unpunished. So, next article is from The Verge. No, I'm sorry. I closed that tab. Next article is from XDA Developers. Microsoft wipes out evidence of real ads in Windows 11 Start Menu. There are a lot of reasons many users don't like Windows 11 Start Menu, but when the evidence surfaced last month suggesting Microsoft could be working towards bringing real ads to the Start Menu, it invited criticism, even from people who don't mind the flaws in the Start Menu. Now there is one more twist to the tale. The software giant has recently wiped out evidence suggesting real ads might be coming. It all started when Microsoft changed the name of the toggle for showing recommendations for tips, shortcuts, and apps to also include the words ads in Windows 11 Insider Build 26200.5001 in the Canary channel. Although there was no official announcement from Microsoft, that one small change led to people thinking that real ads in the Start menu are inevitable. Of course they are. You think Microsoft is going to pass up that kind of market space? I mean, think how much money they could charge, you know, to have ads pop up in everyone's Start menu, especially if you do the scummy thing and make them look like they're not ads.
Yeah.
Like, you remember on the download sites a few years ago?
Audience. Yeah. They've got a captured audience, so, yeah, that's licensed to print money.
Well, not only that, you know, you're going to get how many kids just clicking on those because they don't know any better?
Yeah. Especially if they make them very attractive to children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice bold colors, cartoon characters, maybe bluey.
Pixar
like
style character. Yeah.
Yep.
However, Microsoft has again changed the name of the toggle to what it was before the Insider Build rolled out last month. As spotted by Xenopanther, the toggle now reads as show recommendations for tips, apps, app promotion, and more in the start app, in the settings app start page. And Windows Insider Build 26212 for the Canary channel. Simply put, you'll no longer find any mention of real ads in the Windows 11 Start menu if you're on the latest Canary channel build. According to Brandon LeBlanc, senior program manager on the Windows Insider program team at Microsoft, the change in the toggle for recommendations that happened in April was identified as a super old text string. Hence, it has now been renamed to exclude references to real ads in Build 26212. In other words, Microsoft is denying that what happened last month didn't mean real ads are coming to the Start menu. However, even if Microsoft does introduce ads at some point, you'll likely be able to toggle them off or download a third-party Start menu app to get rid of them. But, I mean, yeah, counting on other people to fix Microsoft shit, that's not a great plan. I mean, you're right in that it'll probably happen, but I don't know. So I don't like it. I don't like it. So learn Linux, I guess, is the usual refrain at this point.
Or we could just go back outside and enjoy the outdoors again.
I made a late night purchase the other night. And you're going to laugh your ass off when I tell you what it is. It's a laptop, miniature laptop.
Yeah.
Runs a 386 and has 8 megs of RAM and an OPL3 sound card.
Off the grid rig.
Yes, it is. It's meant for playing games, but it runs DOS.
And I've got a project like that sitting in the garage at the moment.
But it's modern hardware, so it's less prone to failure than breaking out a 30-year-old laptop and hoping that the battery hasn't exploded. And you'll have to replace the caps, because that is a pain in the ass.
I'm betting you're like me, Morbs, and you keep all your old hardware.
A lot of it. If it still works, I tend to keep it.
Yeah. I've got a ton of old hardware. I'm going to cobble together a little project.
But, yeah, the interesting thing about using a 386 like that, I think it's actually they repurposed some industrial embedded board, is that you can run DOS on it, and there's lots of productivity software out there for DOS. Hell, you could even get it on the network. It's got the ISA bus exposed on a set of pins on the back, like GPIO pins. And somebody's already adapted a emulator for a Gravis ultrasound based on the Pi Pico. So that'll be a fun trick, is the different things you can add on to it, because it's got the full fucking ISA bus exposed on the thing. But, so it's like I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm more interested in going back and playing with the old systems and seeing what you can get them to do rather than the new modern ones, because the modern ones do a lot of shit that I don't think is very useful anymore. It's certainly not focused on giving the user what they want.
No, it's not user-focused anymore.
So that's why I've been meaning to break out and go play with the old Amiga stuff, because it's like, I don't know, I didn't really get into the Amigas when they were, current, and that seemed like a great time going back and looking at it, because it's like you have all this stuff, the machine's got enough horsepower to do cool stuff, but not enough horsepower to, let it spy on you.
Yeah.
And, lots of development information for it, so you can write your own code, and I've got a few other machines I'm meaning to play with, but it's just time has become such a premium that I don't know when I'm ever going to get to do it. So, anyways, let's get to the last article I've got for tonight. I've actually got two things for Dojo, so this is from QZ.com. Again, this is another one of those that details are going to matter. FTX customers are getting back all of the money they lost in the crypto exchange's collapse. The former crypto exchange expects 98% of its creditors to receive approximately 118% of the amount of their allowed claims. So some of these numbers confuse me, because if the market collapsed, how are they doing this?
That's where's this magic money coming from? Are they just going to create another digital currency and just say it's worth X amount to give this to people?
Because I don't know.
I have a cigarette lighter that keeps away leopards. Since owning this lighter, I've never been attacked by a leopard. It's invaluable, but you can buy it for $150,000.
Nearly all of FTX's former customers will get back almost 100% of the money they lost at the time of the cryptocurrency exchange's collapse, if not more. FTX said in a statement Tuesday that it expects 98% of its creditors to receive approximately 118% of the amount of their allowed claims. Others will receive 100% of their claims plus billions in interest as compensation for the time value of their investments. The company forecasts that the total value of the assets converted to cash and made available for distribution will be between $14.5 and $16.3 billion. The updated reorganization plan, as outlined in filings in Delaware Bankruptcy Court submitted Tuesday, will be funded from the cash that the company has on hand, available NFTs, wind-down cash proceeds, and any remaining assets.
Sorry for the bastard who gets the NFTs as compensation.
Yeah. Well, any remaining assets makes me think that this company had a couple of buildings or something else that they're going to sell off to try to fund some of this stuff.
But corporate high-rise buildings aren't worth shit right now.
I don't know.
The worst market ever to be selling buildings. I don't know where they're getting this real estate holdings from.
Shareholders' claims will be calculated based on their holdings as of November 2022, when the crypto exchange filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So that right there is a big part of it, because they're setting the goalpost is after they were starting to go down. So they pegged the value, you know, when it was already tanking. So that probably helps quite a bit.
If I had money in FTX, I don't care where they're pegging the value. Just seeing some of it back is where I'm going to be rejoicing at.
That's true. That's true. The announcement was likely welcomed by former customers whose money was locked up in mid-court proceedings. At the time of the collapse, it was believed that billions of dollars worth of customer deposits in FTX would never be recovered. Sam Bankman-Fried, who co-founded the crypto exchange in 2019 and became known as the Crypto King, was convicted. No, I thought Crypto King was a different guy. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Neither am I. Was convicted of fraud last year in FTX's stunning collapse. He was sentenced to March to 25 years in prison. We all speculated at the time he was sentenced to prison because he ran out of money to donate to politicians. New reorganization plan is pending finalization and approval from the bankruptcy court. Customers should expect to begin receiving their money within 60 days of the plan's effective date, which will be set by the court. Quote, we are pleased to be in a position to propose a Chapter 11 plan that contemplates the return of 100% of bankruptcy claim amounts plus interest for non-governmental creditors. Unquote, said John J. Ray III, CEO and Chief Restructuring Officer of FTX. He also thanked FTX customers and creditors for their patience throughout the 17-month-long process. So they found some store of cash somewhere, and it's very interesting that they're using it to make people whole, because I don't think anyone was expecting it. So
the thing is, are they going to make the average mom and dad invest a whole first, or are they going to make the Democratic Party whole first?
I have no idea.
I just have big doubts on where this money's coming from. Yeah, I'll do some research on it next week.
I just thought that one was a very interesting one, because it's just like, really? You know, that they're all getting it back, not just, you know, you're expecting them at some point, like, 10% or something, right? But
yeah, well, that's what I would have thought.
Or they would make the banks whole, and then all the customers, yeah, sorry, you were at the bottom of the list, because that is usually
how it goes, yeah. That's what I said, you know, they're going to make the right people whole first, or I doubt it.
So, that or there's somebody else involved in FTX who really doesn't want to be involved in the bankruptcy, doesn't want to go to jail, so this is they're just dipping into their own funds to try to make the problem go away.
So. Oh, I bet you somebody tried to go down this rabbit hole and ended up getting Boeinged.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, the FTX is a fucking mess, man. I remember I started looking into it, and fuck, that shit went off everywhere. Big names everywhere.
Well, and I mean, their structure was such a fucking mess, you couldn't follow half of it because they had so many little holding companies.
Half the reason I gave up. You know, you're coming across names that you're like, who the fuck are these people and how did they get all this money? Like, they don't come from money or anything like that. They're suddenly crypto billionaires.
Well, there's a lot of money that was fake in a lot of the crypto stuff. Well, oh, yeah, fake FTX is not the right word. I mean, it is
made up.
It's real, but there's nothing backing it. It's just
It has reality value to it, as long as people believe it does.
Well, right, but it's not like Bitcoin and the reason Bitcoin has value is because everyone has agreed Bitcoin has value.
That's what I'm saying. It's just we've all agreed to play this pretend game with pretend money. Let's play the pretend game until we can no longer pretend, and then we have to come back to reality, and suddenly everybody's fucking broke.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with Bitcoin, because the way it started out and the way it's, the first one, it doesn't have the manipulation. I mean, people can manipulate it because there's, you know, just through sheer brute force and numbers. But all the other cryptocurrencies are Bitcoin plus something else to make it different, right? Either it's different math to do the crypto, or like Ethereum, where now it's proof of stake, or they put like contracts in it and stuff like that, or they're, you know, other things they've attached to it. Bitcoin is still kind of the vanilla standard, and it's hard to fuck with it at a base layer. Yeah, you can fuck with it by doing a 51% attack, or just, you know, moving enough Bitcoin to fuck with the market. That's the downside of having a lot of Bitcoin, is if you try to sell it off, it actually loses value while you're selling it. But
I look at Bitcoins like French fries. There's only one way to make good French fries, right?
Yeah.
So that's the original. You can add whatever you want to the next lot of French fries and call it something else, but it's still fries at the end of the day. You know what I mean? It was the original, therefore it's the gold standard. It has the brand.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
But it is like the only one that it's been proven the way to do it. All these others have sort of fallen along the wayside, except for Dogecoin. It's still doing pretty good.
Well, Dogecoin, Ethereum.
Ethereum, yeah.
There's a handful of others that stick around and have enough participation in them, but nothing seems to touch just Bitcoin from pure participation, which is why that one wins. And
that's what I'm saying. It's the original brand.
It's not opinionated. So
it's Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the brand. Everyone loves the taste. And occasionally someone goes, no, I'd rather have Dogecoin because I'm a Pepsi guy. And everyone points and laughs.
Cykros in the IRC said that he suspects that they found a stash of crypto that hadn't been, you know, fucked with yet. And because Bitcoin shot up, maybe that's how they're funding it?
Possibly.
They were using QuickBooks for accounting. You know, I wouldn't put it past them.
I would not, that a Ritalin addicted little faggot he was. Well, still is.
Man, that's going to be interesting 25 years when he gets out of prison.
he'll do 7 pops.
Yeah. Oh, no, Cykro says they really were using QuickBooks. It came out in the investigation. Wow. Oh,
wow. Okay.
You're running a crypto exchange and it's back-ended by fucking QuickBooks. That's amazing.
Holy shit. Oh, no, I thought I was irresponsible.
All right, let's do this. Hadouken! 2 things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. First is from securitycafe.ro, or RO. It's a full guide on digging in Amazon AMIs, which are machine images, for secrets. Because people publish their machine images all the time, right? You know, it's like, oh, here's our product for this. Here's that. You know, here's a build somebody made for this database. Here's a build for something else. Well, this guy's figured out how to go through these public AMIs and extract out, you know, people's keys, you know, different access codes, getting into other people's AWS accounts because of it.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of digging here. So, and it's a really good write-up of how to do these kinds of investigations. So I thought it was an excellent, excellent example of like a true digital dojo. So it's like, you know, here's how to dig through all of this shit. Yeah. So anyways, Cypress says it was Alameda Research that was using the QuickBooks, but it was all, yeah, because Alameda was just pulling money right out of FTX whenever they needed it. So yeah,
they were using his cash.
Yep.
Like an ATM.
But I don't know, I guess with enough creative accounting anything will work, but yeah, so this guy's actually got scripts to go through and pull people's API keys and AMI keys and all that kind of stuff.
He's back on the FTX thing. Whoops, this is why that buildings don't have any value anymore if you do that post.
Burnett Plaza, tallest building in Fort Worth, has been sold at foreclosure for $12.3 million. Previously sold in 2021 for $137.5 million. Yep.
No money in commercial holdings anymore. Well, for now, anyway. Yep. But if you got a lazy $12 million, I'd recommend buying that.
So,
as
Yeah, because, I mean, it's eventually going to come back, but...
Well, this is the time when investors say there's blood in the street. Because you can just buy shit for nothing right now.
So... But, anyways, but yeah, I just thought there was an excellent write-up of how to dig through these Amazon AMIs for information, so... And then the last thing I had for you tonight in Dojo was something else that was just... I haven't played with it, but it's hilarious. I love it. It's called the Cyber Scarecrow. It's a program that runs on your Windows box. And what it does is it creates fake processes and fake registry entries to make your computer look like it's a security worker, a security researcher's machine. Makes it look like it's a virtual machine, makes it look like it's got all these different tools on it for decompiling malware, makes it look like it's got a bunch of different monitoring processes on it, because a lot of malware these days tries to avoid getting inspected by researchers by if they see certain tools, or they see they're running in desktop VM software, or if they see they're running, you know, on certain networks, by they won't run. They'll delete themselves because they would rather not infect that machine and not let the researcher figure out how their malware works, right?
Yeah, how much RAM does this use in the background?
Not much, apparently, because a bunch of the processes are fake. The registry keys are just, you know, entries, and apparently make some fake paths on your system, but they don't actually do anything. And supposedly, it doesn't run these all the time. It just, whenever it thinks, when it sees something looking for those processes, it'll create them. So supposedly it they're just empty processes, though. It's literally just hoping they're checking for the name. So is this bulletproof? No.
No, nothing is.
But it's a funny idea and I like it. Yeah. Because it will fucking work for some malware. So something to play with. It's in alpha, but I really liked the idea, thought it was funny. Here it is. So, but anyways, a little bit of a short show tonight, but that's fine because I am fucking tired. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site, the BBS. It was down for a bit, but now it's back up. I don't know. Are you closing thoughts? Oh, you're muted. Okay, well, when Aryu's, you know, done with his, you know, horrific coughing fit or whatever it is, just sit here and twiddle our thumbs till Aryu gives us our closing thoughts.
Sorry, man, my phone rang just at the wrong time.
Oh, you're fine.
I was sprinting into the lounger and fuck, grab it. It turns out it's telemarketers. I'm like, fuck.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah. Sorry, don't have anything for the closing tonight.
Fair enough. All right, well, I'm going to play sound effects and close us out.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
Hey, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
Security, she's got a break.